I wouldn't be surprised if they took an offensive lineman. I wouldn't be shocked, man. Anything's on the table at this point in time when you're dealing with John Robinson. And I wouldn't be surprised they kept old Panda. It's all about production. And if they give him a little bit of time to then get to OTAs and they haven't done anything with him yet, and he's starting to show signs of that he wants to play in the National Football League and big boy ball and act like an adult and whatever other issues that he had, I think then they'll start saying, okay, let's keep plodding along and see how we do, unless they cut the cord now in free agency. So that'd be something we'll ask Buck. First off, is what to do with the $8 million, which you were talking about, of extra money, and then what to do with the Panda, because the Panda needs some help there in the cave. He's getting a little lonely.
Not even any foreplay, just right to the sports, huh? Hi, boys. How are we?
Hey,
what's up, Buck? Man, how's it going, man? Your first 2 or 3 days here, man. You feel like you're at home already?
Yeah, nobody's fired me yet, and I haven't said anything that's fireable. So at this point, I think we're doing okay. Baby steps, though. They started me on 3 days. We'll see how I do with a full 5 next week. So the extra $8 million, as you guys were talking about, the cap rollover. Or the financial rollover that the NFL finalized yesterday, I think, and what they're going to do based on what John Robinson told me on Wednesday, is that they're going to start with their own guys first. They're going to explore the options for the guys who are about to come out from under their Tennessee Titans contracts. You know, the list of 20 is well-documented at this point, from Clowney to Davis to Janu to Jayon, all across up and down the board. And more likely than not, things are trending right now for Corey Davis to come back, and we'll keep tabs on that as the thing develops. Now, they're able to negotiate with those guys right now, as opposed to waiting until the legal tampering period opens on the 15th and then free agency officially begins on the 17th. So that's where that money is first going to be addressed. But honestly, I am of the opinion, and I just spent 3 hours largely yelling about it to whomever would listen to me here, the lovely audience.
Oh, you were yelling? You were yelling?
Mm-hmm. He was yelling a lot. I listened. Lots of yelling. Gas bagging even.
Oh.
A lot of gas bagging happening.
You're gonna get some emails, man, for yelling.
Emails take less. They're less direct than the tweets that are just thrown straight in my face, Blaine. So at least the emails take a little longer to get to me. But what I was yelling about is that people want Jayon Brown to come back. And what I reported was that several people within the Tennessee Titans ecosystem have been telling me that Jayon Brown is largely overvalued within the Titans defense. So I am of the opinion that you can address two problems with $8 million or whatever financial flexibility you come up with as we start to see more cap casualties come out. And that will start more in earnest next week outside of Adam Humphreys. I would spend that on Kyle Van Noy. I think that Kyle Van Noy can do off the ball things for you. I think that he knows what position to be in. I think he has a good command of the kind of defense that they run here in Tennessee based off prior experience in New England and in Miami. And I think he helps you with the pass rush problem to a degree. It helps you. It puts money on two different issues, because the inside linebackers weren't nearly good enough last year. Jayon Brown started to get a little better, and then immediately blew up his elbow against the Ravens. And Rashawn Evans and David Long were objectively bad for stretches. Like, they were a problem in the middle of that defense. So you get Kyle Van Noy, who can produce pressure from either the edge or the inside, and you can move him all around the defense. I would rather have Kyle Van Noy than the combination of Jayon Brown and Jadeveon Clowney.
I wanted to add to that. We're on with Buck Rising with 104.5 The Zone, as well as A to Z Sports. And don't you find it odd that all three linebackers, you just said it, underachieved. I'm going to put that word to it. Brown, you said he was just getting up to speed. Rashawn Evans did not play up to speed. And Kevin Long didn't either. And there's only one common thread. What was that thread?
Probably the coaching.
I mean, right. There was a change of the coach. All three cannot be playing bad in the same season. There's no way, no how. It's impossible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could say that about Kevin Byard as well, to take a dip the way that he did. I think there are
It wasn't three safeties that played bad. It was one safety. Well, see, you see the difference now? So to me, that takes it back to the room.
Okay. So what you're saying is not necessarily Shane Bowen, who was responsible for coordinating the events, but you're talking about Jim Haslett, the inside linebackers coach at that point.
I'm not saying it's his fault. The player's ultimately on the field, but it's just odd to me. All of a sudden, all three of those guys who played really well the year before, all of a sudden, they all both had average to below average seasons for them.
No, you're not wrong. And by the way, like the Tyrone, my alarm is going off. It's time for me to eat lunch. Okay. But Tyrone McKenzie, who was formerly the Titans inside linebacker coach, it didn't end well here. Like it did not end well between him and Mike Vrabel, and whether it was, you know, there are conflicting messages to that effect as to whether Tyrone McKenzie was fired or whether Tyrone McKenzie quit. But as an inside linebackers coach, he seemed to vibe very well with David Long and with Jayon Brown and with Rashawn Evans. And that's 2019 is probably the best version of those three that we saw. So they, the head coach and the inside linebackers coach had a falling out for whatever reason, whether it was you can't fire me, I quit, or whatever. But he went to Detroit, and those inside linebackers weren't very good last year either. So it's not there is scrutiny to be had. But your point is well taken. The inside linebackers changed their position coach, and the production as a result suffered. Whether that's on Jim Haslett not reaching them, whether that's on the players not understanding the changes that were made to the defense, whether that's on Shane Bowen, who is tasked largely, and Mike Vrabel, who are both tasked largely with overseeing the operations and the coordination of the defense, there was a failing on multiple fronts, Blaine, and it's not. Well, I'm not pointing the finger at Rashawn Evans. I'm not pointing the finger at Jayon Brown. I'm not pointing the finger at Shane Bowen. I'm pointing the finger at all of them because them failed across the board. But the players, especially the inside linebackers, I mean, they just didn't look. They didn't know where they looked as if they didn't know where to be. Yeah. And I don't know how that happens over a course of a season because it's not like it got any better. Once Jayon Brown was off the field, it got worse. I know people like David Long's energy. I know people like the way that David Long makes plays against the run. But the way that he sold out against the play fake, against the play action, against the run fake, cost you as a defense because he was just so quick to trigger on the run that it would take him out of pass coverage and it made your defense vulnerable in the middle.
No doubt about it. I'm going to just add one more thing before I turn over to Mickey there, Buck, and that is what would you do with Rashawn Evans now? Would you give him was he going on that fourth year where you want to give him that option for the fifth year, right? What would you do at this point in time?
So it's an interesting question because the Titans, the last two seasons, have declined the option of their first-round pick, Conklin and then Davis. Now, they accepted Adoree Jackson, and Adoree Jackson didn't hardly play at all last year, so that kind of bit him in the butt. It's worked out well for the players whose options got declined, is what I would say. But I think that it is also an effective motivational tool. Even as draconian as that might seem, it puts something under your skin when you're told, as a first-round pick, you're not good enough. You're not good enough for us to pay you this kind of money. You're not good enough for us to invest in you in this final year. We still have to see something from you. And at this point, it's not worth running that risk. I think that Rashawn Evans is hugely talented, but so to a different degree as Isaiah Wilson. Like, you can have talent and struggle as a football player. That's what's happening to Rashawn Evans right now for different reasons, obviously, than the Isaiah Wilson situation. Mm-hmm. But I would not pick up Rashawn Evans' fifth-year option. It just, there's too many reasons last year that would warn you against doing so.
Well, with Buck Rising with 104.5 The Zone and A to Z Sports.
Yes, sir. Two Rivers making Buck's appearance possible. Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Two Rivers Ford. So, Buck, I watched a bunch of the primetime show. I think I didn't watch it live. I watched it later on. After the family went to bed, so my son would not come and try to join you, which he often does if I watch while he's still awake. He wants to talk to Mr. Buck.
Which also reminds me that I need to watch my language on the primetime show because I don't need young rabble learning any new curse words from me. That would be hugely problematic for Daddy Mickey.
We've done some explaining a couple times before, but we told him Buck says some dirty words. It's okay. He understands. Uncle Buck will occasionally drop a dirty word. He understands he can't say those words. So So you talked about Corey Davis. You done some digging, intel that maybe he's an extension candidate, that it would be leaning that way, maybe him first right now. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So what about the who gets cut candidates? Because there are some really big cap numbers with some really small dead cap numbers. Not for everybody, but some of those guys have some really big gaps like that.
So Kenny Vaccaro is the name that you hear most often. It's the name that makes the most sense. It's the cleanest cut given where he is in his career and what they have behind him, right? Because Amani Hooker, I mean, he might have been the best safety for the Titans last year. He was certainly effective when it came to creating and helping to capitalize on turnovers. He is definitely in a better place athletically to be able to keep up with tight ends that the safeties are tasked with covering. Kenny Vaccaro is more a linebacker at this point in his career than a safety and moves like one. And the $4 million that you would get is good money that you need to be able to go about that. Now, Malcolm Butler is a name that continues to come up, given, you know, that it's $10 million you would save if you cut him. And you run the risk of, in that sense, cutting your best corner. But your best corner wasn't enough to save your defense but from being historically awful last year. So you have to weigh that against that. Weigh the Malcolm Butler situation against that. Ben Jones is another one that is interesting. A Ben Jones contract extension to lower the $7 million that Ben Jones is set to make in 2021 makes a lot of sense, because you can alleviate some of the financial strife that Ben Jones would cause you, because right now you could cut him and save $6 million clean. Like, he's making seven, it would cost you one to get rid of him, and that's $6 million that you need right now. Yeah. But Ben Jones, nothing on the field indicated that Ben Jones is worthy of being cut. Now he's being cut. Now he's 32, and at some point his body's going to fall off, especially when you play a position where you're basically getting in a car wreck on every play. But you need to be judicious with just straight up cutting vets that are making a lot of money, because of what that does to the locker room. There are so many people that love and respect all three of those players in the Titans locker room and in the organization. And you have to keep that in mind, as dumb or as cliche or as non-football related as that might seem. It can very much sour your football team very quickly if you just totally throw off the feng shui of the locker room.
You also...
Wait, let me add to that, though. So that same mechanism there, what you just said, Buck, why didn't that... Do you think that happened last year with Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan?
Hell yeah. Delanie Walker, Wesley Woodyard.
Woodyard. I
mean, like, go down the list. Like, yeah. These are guys who probably helped put Rashawn Evans in better positions and helped coach up Rashawn
Evans. You're saying it hurt him, but it seems like the organization didn't care about that, and they made the financial decision to move forward. Well, so they'll do it again.
Now, Blaine, listen, like, I respect Jarrell Casey and what he is. I also think that the trading of Jarrell Casey by John Robinson was the best thing that John Robinson did last year. I think to be able to get out from under a player when his body was clearly in decline and his production was going to follow. And there is not a value that can be placed on something like locker room leadership. But is that worth, what was he making, $16 million a year? No.
I think 12 or something.
Okay, well then that was a little excessive by me. 12 still, it's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, by any terms. But I mean, what you're saying, you're playing both sides of it now, though, because they're going to have to do that same thing again to me and not really care about how that affects the locker room, because this is about a financial decision.
I talked to Coach Mack about this in the noon hour of my show right before this. And he said, you know, take the names off it. Remove as much emotion from it as you can, because it is a people business. And these are Coach Mack's words, not mine. It's a people business. But it's the second word that hits the hardest. It's the business part. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to be able to do the thing that makes everybody feel good on both the football side and the locker room side. Somebody's getting cut. It's just a matter of where can you find those places where it's not all three of them, right? Where you keep Ben Jones in place, but maybe you let Vaccaro go. Or you restructure Malcolm Butler and ask him to take a little less money, but you move on from Ben Jones because you like a center in the second or third round, and you can find centers pretty throughout the course of the draft. But again, be careful, because what Darren Bates says on his podcast, and he has his own podcast, The Raw Room, and it's a really, really good look into what the dynamic is. Multiple players that he has on this podcast, and it's cliche, but locker rooms are not like this around the league. Ben Jones brings together the offensive line and the linebackers and the safeties, and does the gritty as a touchdown celebration with Derrick Henry, and does Michael Jackson moves in the end zone with A.J. Brown. Like, people like that bring your team together. They are rallying points. So you have to be careful when it comes to that kind of stuff. What just makes financial sense, and what could completely disrupt your football team from both a human perspective and a football perspective.
But good stuff, my brother. Tell the people all the places they can find you. Obviously, 10-1 now, 104.5 The Zone. You got your primetime show. I watched it last night. Often watch it Sunday through Thursday, correct? And now one episode a week, if I'm not mistaken, of your other podcast, Ready to See Sports.
That's what my press release said, and I think that's what my contract says. So we have 1615 sessions a week. We have Sunday to Thursday night on A to Z Sports primetime, and on Monday through Friday from 10-1. I'll be screaming at y'all on this microphone here for 104.5 The Zone.
Just no dirty words around my son, Rabble. That's all we ask. Buck Rising, great stuff as always at Buck Rising. He's part of the Zone family now. So 104.5 The Zone's Buck Rising. Thank you, sir.
See you, boys. Have a good show. Thanks a lot.